Okay, I got the following shiloh this week. A couple called me up on Sunday and said they need to meet. It's too complicated to describe in an email or whatever. So I said, sure, no problem. And we had a meeting and they described the following event that occurred. This family was going to Pesach, to Florida for Pesach. And they were driving to Florida for Pesach, or at least the woman and the children were driving. And the husband, I don't know how he managed to pull this off, but he was flying while his wife and kids were in the car for 24 hours driving to Florida. He had to work, whatever it was, whatever excuse he came up with, he worked this out. So his wife, all the kids are below driving age, and she was going to be driving 24 hours with kids in the car, packed up with suitcases, because the airlines only let him take one little bag and he doesn't want to have to schlep. So packed up the suitcases, and it was going to be very difficult to drive for 24 hours. So she decided to go on one of these from websites, like Five Town Shuls or one of them. I'm sure they have a Queens version of it. Makes sense. And she posted, I'm driving to Florida for Pesach. If anyone would like to get a free ride to Florida, because you need to get there and you don't have a plane ticket, or you can't afford, you don't have a car to go, if you're willing to split the driving, it's on me. Free ride to Florida as long as you're willing to split the driving with me, right? So that's what she posted. Someone responded that he's interested, and Yeshiva Bacher, right, responded that he's interested, he's working in one of the hotels. Great, so she, her five kids, and this Yeshiva Bacher were driving to Florida. Good. Everyone was happy, and they made it all the way there. And he was driving at the end, and he pulled into the hotel where he's staying, where he was working. So it was chaotic. Everyone was pulling in, taxis, and everyone full of suitcases. It was Erev Yontif, everyone checking into the hotel, and the whole driveway was full. And the valet guy there said, "Back up your car." Said to this yeshiva bacher that was driving, "Back up your car." They made it all the way to Florida without incident. So he puts it in reverse, he backs up right into a cement pillar and smashes the back of the car. So he says to her, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'll pay for it after Yontif, I'll take care of it after Yontif. And she said, "Yeah, after Yontif, we'll have plenty of time to deal with it after Yontif. Don't worry, we'll deal with it after Yontif." After Yontif, she texts him, time to deal with it. And he sends back an email, which is a little nastier than it had to be, probably, saying, "Well, I spoke to a few rabbis, and I don't think I have to pay. I don't think I'm obligated to pay." He writes, so we should go to Din Torah, which is really the normal thing to say, but he writes, and ask any fifth grader, they can tell you the halacha of Bailavimo, that when the owner is with you, you're pater from all hezek that happens to any fifth grader could tell you. So apparently he didn't know that on the spot. He only knew that once he consulted with his fifth grade friends, and they were able to teach him the halacha of Bailavimo. So he told her that she should consult with fifth graders, and they'll be able to tell the halacha of Bailavimo. So she said, "I don't have a very strong Gemara background. Is there such a halacha that he doesn't have to pay because the owner was with him?" So I thought this was a very interesting shaila, because on the surface it seems like it's a good tataina that there is a din in the Torah, the Gemara in Bava Tzion, Mishnah Bava Tzion, that Tzadi Dalet, and the Gemara expounds that when you're a shomer on something and the owner of that item is with you, so there is a pitur called Bailavimo. The person is taka pater when there's Bailavimo. So I thought it was a decent taina. Now he also said that it also wasn't his fault, because when he was backing up, he was trying to look through the window in the back of the car, and it was all piled up with suitcases, so he couldn't see out of the back window. Her taina back was, it is your fault, because every minivan nowadays comes equipped with a backup camera. You're not supposed to look back when you're backing up. Look forward to the backup camera that shows exactly what's going on behind you. He said, "I'm not accustomed to driving minivans. I don't know about backup cameras, but there was a backup camera here." So he tied as it was an ones. She tied as it was posheya. But the truth is, if it's Bailavimo, the Gemara has a discussion, the Machlokas, whether Bailavimo works even by a posheya. And the Gemara, the Maskana la Halacha, we pass from Shulchan Aruch Shem Vav in Choshem Mishpat, that Baila V'ima works even for a Posheya. So even if he was negligent, the heter, the patur of Baila V'ima, the chara would work. Yeah?
And then only apply if it's, say, if you're driving the car and the engine were to fail, something that would be within the normal use of the car. But here he's backing up into an external, there's an external factor that's playing a role.
So we have to discuss what it would cover, right? That's where it's going to get interesting, right? That it's one thing if something happens to the car. It's something else maybe if he crashes the car. Now, also worth consideration is that he said to her at the time, I will pay, that I'll pay after Yantif. Does that mean anything? Well, he says, that's because it was before I consulted my fifth grade friends, so that's why I didn't know the halacha at that time. Had I known the halacha at that time, I never would have said that. So that's something to consider. Another thing to consider is the following. It is not a car that they own. It is a car that is leased. Why does that matter that it's leased? They're not the Bailim. So who is the Bailim? The Bailim is the leasing company, really. And to further complicate matters, how much is it going to cost to fix the car? So they said, well, the lease is up in a month. I don't lease cars, so I don't know much about this. I own my car. I like owning. I don't like more monthly payments than I need. Just, you know, I'll buy a cheaper car. But the leasing companies, the way they work apparently, is you have to give the car back in reasonable condition, meaning it doesn't have to be perfect. So if you were fixing the smashed bumper perfectly, you'd have to replace it with a whole new one. It would be, let's say, $800. But because you only need to do a hatchet job a little bit and make it look roughly okay, for the leasing company said $300. If he is chayiv to pay, how much is he chayiv to pay? They have no plans of doing more than a $300 job because that's all they need to do for the leasing company. But the damage that he did was $800 of damage. To put it back the way it was before is $800. Yeah.
She wasn't in the car with him when he crashed.
She was in the car with him. Yes, yes. She was in the passenger seat.
Isn't that a deal, like, renting her work or, like, paying?
What's the buy? So what kind of shomer is he? Let's start with that. What kind of shomer is he? He's a shoel. He's borrowing the car. Now, one of the definition of shoel is kol ana shelo. Is that the situation over here? No, it doesn't seem that way. There's a reciprocal deal over here. Seems more like a shomer sacher. Right, that there's reciprocity over here. He's getting the ride in exchange for his services. There's no money changing hands, but there's services changing hands. So it would seem more like a shomer sachar. Now, so how does this work? How does the Baila V'ima? Let's start like this. What's the svara of Baila V'ima? What's the logic? The fact that the baal is there. So what? You allowed the thing. You're a shomer. And the item got damaged through your pshia. We pass even if it's negligence. We have a heter of baila v'imo through your pshia. So what's the svara? What's the svara to patur with baila v'imo? So the svara is, I think, the way the Achronim explained. The Beis Meir writes in Eben Ezer that the svara is that when it's baila v'imo, you don't accept upon yourself the achrayus of a shomer because the owner will watch it. I'm not accepting the achrayus of being the person to protect this item. The owner's right here. Let the owner watch it. So one never accepts chiyuvei shmira. Given that, if that's the svara, the achronim point out, the sman, the sardes shulchan aruch, and shin mem vav, sifkat nirches, points out that baila v'ima only works by a hezek. Baila v'ima only works when there is a lack of shmira that caused the damage to happen. But when you're mazik biyadayim, baila v'ima doesn't work. When you go and damage it directly, well, then you don't have a heter of baila v'ima. And over here, crashing a car is a mazik biyadayim. He drove it right into a pillar of cement. One could argue that's mazik biyadayim. Why would you not have that the p'tur of baila v'ima when you're mazik biyadayim? Because the whole din of baila v'ima is you're not accepting upon yourself dinei shmira. Well, you know what? This recorder is not mine, right? I never accepted dinei shmira. If I slam it and I smash it into a million pieces, I still have to pay for it, even though I have no chiyuvei shmira on it, because I'm not allowed to be mazik and I have to pay for my hezek that I do. If something happens, someone mentioned before, if something happens, I'm driving and the engine just goes, or something happens, you know, lightning strikes, I don't know, something happens out of nowhere. So that's a something jumps, a deer jumps in front of the car or something like that. Something happens. So that's a din shmira. Then you have to think about whether I was poshea or not, you know, then even if I was poshea, I have the patur of Bailavimo. But when it's not a din shmira, I'm just being mazik fiyadayim, then you don't have the patur of Bailavimo, yeah? She should have been looking at the rear view camera. Interesting. That's interesting. Didn't think of that. Right. Most of the time, passenger ignores these things. Right. It's the your backseat driver. So, right. Unless the passenger is your wife, most of the time they're ignoring these things. So they have to be married to you. I remember when GPS came out, my father, like, it drove him crazy. He's like, I'm already married. I don't need someone else to tell me what to do. You know, it's always the woman's voice. So I sent this. At first I thought, it sounds like a really, you know, it sounds like you have a din of Bailavimo. That was my initial thought. But obviously, in terms of posketing this couple came to meet with me to ask me, you don't paskin. We've discussed that in the past. When there's a chosh mishpat shayla, you don't paskin to one side when one side asks you the shayla. And that the guy's rabbanim had that, the ethics and the credibility and the experience to know that that's true. And they told him, he wrote in his email, they wouldn't paskin for me because you weren't with me and we didn't have, you know, we didn't have a din Torah, but they said I stand a very good chance in a din Torah because of the din of Bailavimo, so I don't think I necessarily owe you anything. So the obvious answer, the answer of what you tell them to do is try to talk it out. If you need a third party there, get a Rav who you both trust, who hasn't heard the story yet, who's going to meet with both of you, and you'll both be able to tell your whole, you know, tell your whole side of the story, and then they'll come up with some solution. And we strongly recommend looking for pshara rather than looking for din. And over here, pshara is so easy, by the way, because what's the pshara? 300, right? Meaning you don't just split it, because that's not pshara. We discussed that pshara is not just splitting. Pshara means come up with something that makes sense for everybody. So if you really owe 800, but you want to come up with pshara, they don't really need more than 300. So it's like the easiest pshara ever, right, to come up with. I sent this shaila to Rav Zilberstein yesterday, and he got back to me today, and he's unbelievable how quickly he gets back. And he sent me a tshuva. I also sent him last week's shaila with the camera, with the pictures, whatever. But he sent me the following tshuva. He first of all, he points out the mazik biyadayim issue, the fact that if a person is mazik biyadayim, you don't have the patur of balavimo, and he explains this far like we explained it. But then he points out there is an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam in the 21st paragraph of Hilchos Ishus writes that ha'isha sheshavra kelim, a woman who breaks kelim, a married woman in the house, the kelim all belong to the husband, and she breaks the kelim in the house. She's petura, she doesn't have to pay for every kli that she breaks. Every time she's washing dishes and she drops a glass, a woman doesn't have to pay her husband for the broken kelim. And the Rambam writes, that's not really min adin, meikra din, she should have had to pay, ella takana. It's a takana, because common sense says that it's not going to be good for the marriage and for the household if she had to pay every time she broke something. And also, she would never do any housework if she had to pay every time she broke something. It just wouldn't work out well. So the takana, it would destroy the shalom bayis otherwise. Now, the Ravid is masig on the Ramban. And he says, no, it's not a takana. It's meikar adin. It's shmira bebailin. It's shmira bebailin. She lives with him. So it's constantly with him b'chol shah, and since it's shmira b'baylim, that's why she's pater. Well, wait a second. It's one thing if it's just a lack of shmira, but if she's breaking things, that's mazik b'yadayim, isn't it? That's not just a lack of shmira. And yet the Ravid still says you have the patur of shmira b'baylim. Mishal Melech makes a sa'ara. He says, what do you mean? She was mazik b'yadayim. She wasn't just poshaya. So he says, sounds that the Ravid isn't mechalik between being poshea and being mazik yadayim. That the Ravid holds it's all the same. being Poshe and being Mazik Yadayim. And he points out that the Magen Mishnah, who rejects the Ravid for some other reason other than saying that it's Mazik B'Yadayim, must also agree that there's no difference between being Poshe and being Mazik B'Yadayim, and that the Patur of Baal Levimo still stands. So it turns out that it would be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in this case. According to the Rambam, you have the Patur, according to what we would assume most Rishonim would hold, you don't have the Patur of Baal Levimo over here because the guy was Mazik B'Yadayim. But according to the Ravid, you have the Patur even when you are Mazik B'Yadayim. However, Rav Zilberstein writes, Shuv diktakti bedavar. He says, I thought about it a little more. Umashinira nachon de liolim sphere le arrived de yesh chalik ben poshe le mazik le nishmir bebaidim. He says, I think even the Ravid agrees to the distinction between being negligent and being mazik b'yadayim. What's the chalik then? Mi udafka b'miskavim mahazik. He says, but when do we make that chalik? That's only when someone is intentionally damaging. But a woman who breaks without trying to damage, without any kavana lahazik, has a din of a posheya. You would have the heter of shmir b'baylim for the woman when she's not having kavana lahazik. Now, if that's the case, in our case, this guy certainly is not having kavana lahazik. And therefore, according to the Ravid, it should turn out that he should be potter. So it turned out that it's machlokas Rambam and the Ravid. So the question is, as soon as you have a machlokas, even if we do pass like the Rambam, there's a klal in Chosh Mishpat called Kimli, that someone who potentially could owe money, but there's a shita that says that he doesn't owe money, could say, oh, I hold like the Ravid. I didn't tell you I hold like the Ravid. I hold that I'm potter. So you're allowed to say Kimli. There's such a din called Kimli. So he writes at the end, he says, "B'inyanenu hanahag nechshav l'mazik b'yadayim." He says, he is a mazik b'yadayim. But misopakni im yesh lo din mazik b'shogeg. He says, I'm not sure if you can call this a mazik b'shogeg. He says, this might be called mazik b'mezik. What? Why would it be called? He said, because you describe, see, what was the guy's taina? Suitcases were piled up all the way in the back window. I couldn't see anything. So I'm potter, it's not my fault. Says Rav Zilberstein, Shota, that's what makes it your fault. You can't throw a car in reverse if you can't see out the back. That's Mazik B'Yadayim. You're never allowed to drive in reverse if you can't see out the back window. He says, "Vim kein nosei reverse nesia lachor, ba'oven kazeh usakaras nefashos." There could be a person behind you. Va'asur lo lino kein. There's no way you're allowed to drive like that. He says he's got to pay the whole thing. So how did this actually end up? I haven't followed up with them actually, but I told them at the end of the meeting. I said, it's surprising to me that for $300 they're making such a big stink about it. Like, not that I'm such a rich guy that $300 just like is nothing, but if it was my kid, I'd pay the $300 without blinking. I mean, it's surprising to me that they're making such a big stink out of $300. So they said, oh, well, they have no idea how much money it is. Why don't they have any idea how much money it is? Well, we didn't tell them, and the conversation never got that far to tell them how much money it is. I said, tell them how much money it is. They probably think, if you hear that the kid drove, you know, that their son drove someone's car into a concrete pillar, they're probably thinking $3,000. Tell them it's $300, I'm sure they'll take care of it. So that was my advice. I don't know if it happened. Yeah. What?
The backup camera. The backup
camera. Why isn't he looking at the backup camera? What?
Well, it could have been that when he looks at the backup camera, it's his first time using a minivan, so he doesn't actually understand.
Yeah, Yesh Ludden, that there are two types of backup cameras. There's the ones that appear on the rearview mirror, which are easy to miss if you don't know that it's there. And then there are ones that are like a big screen, right? Right in the middle of the car.
I'm saying the big screen one, sometimes like it's difficult to get a feel for it, your first time using a big screen.
Ah, okay, you don't know easily. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like
it just didn't require much feel. Okay, we'll stop there. A good Shabbos, a good Yantiv, everyone. Enjoy Chag Kapol Satora. And I don't know if we're back again.
Of course.